helping us to understand your word and to obey your word and to live out your word in our lives day by day. And we pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the desire to put ourselves first is a pretty strong desire amongst many people today. Particularly here in a Western country like Australia, we value the individual highly. Look out for number one, we say. Love yourself. And so we put ourselves before the group, before others in many ways. But this situation, it isn't just a modern one. It's been with humanity for a long time. It's just that recently we seem to embrace it and own it without any shame. For instance, when we look into God's word in the Bible, we can read about certain people who wished to put themselves first. For example, in the Old Testament, one obvious example is Absalom, King David's son, who we read about in the book of 2 Samuel. Even though David was king, Absalom desired David's position for himself. He wanted to be king regardless of anyone else, and so caused a lot of trouble for David and his kingdom, eventually leading to his own death, because in many ways he wanted to put himself first. Now, coming to the New Testament, we have the example of the Pharisees, a certain group of religious leaders recorded in the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus declares the seven woes against the Pharisees, he describes them as being self-indulgent and of loving the places of honour and the best seats, amongst many other concerns. The Pharisees, in many ways, put themselves first, so much so they wouldn't even accept Jesus because he didn't fit their preconceived ideas of what the Messiah would be. Another example that's particularly relevant as we're looking at some of the Apostle John's writings at present is the example of John himself, together with his brother James, who we can find in Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. There, James and John approached Jesus, asking him if they could sit at his left and right hand in glory. And Jesus rightly said to them, "You don't know what you're asking," before telling them that to become great, they must first be servants and slaves. So in this instance, James and John put themselves first and assumed that they could simply claim positions of glory alongside Jesus by just asking him. So then when we come to the second half of John's letter of 3 John, looking at verses 9 to 14, we shouldn't be surprised, and John shouldn't have been surprised either, to find another example of somebody who loved to be first. So if you remember back to last week, we heard about the good example of Gaius as we looked at 3 John verses 1 to 8. But now, though, as we come to the second half of the letter, there's a change that happens. Now John mentions another man, a man called Diotrephes. And whereas Gaius' example was good, because he was treating the brethren well, he was loving them in the truth and showing hospitality as he walked in the truth, Diotrephes' example is anything but good. In fact, Diotrephes seems the exact opposite of Gaius. He provides a complete contrast with him. But Diotrephes is someone who's setting a bad example as a Christian. For Gaius put others first. He was faithfully serving and showing hospitality to the brethren. Diotrephes, meanwhile, as we see in verse 9, loved to have the preeminence among the church. He put himself first. He loved to be first. He loved to be the greatest. Just like similarly to these other examples I've mentioned from the Bible. Although John, thankfully, seems to have changed from the better from his example in the Gospels. As Christians, we're not supposed to think of ourselves first. We're supposed to put others first. When we think of the word he used to describe Diotrephes' behaviour, this word preeminence, there's only one other mention in the New Testament of this word of somebody having preeminence. And it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, referring to Jesus Christ himself. He is someone who truly has the preeminence in all things. He is first. He is the greatest. And so therefore, Diotrephes' example was not good. But not only did Diotrephes love to have the preeminence, he also didn't receive John or others when John wrote to the church that Diotrephes is a part of. Like another way of saying is that Diotrephes would have nothing to do with John. He wouldn't accept what John was saying. Now this here is serious. By loving to have the preeminence, Diotrephes was basically setting up his own authority in a way. He's the first. He's the greatest. He's in control. He has the authority. Right, this is how people who love to have the preeminence behave. You know, they're number one. So when the Apostle John wrote a letter to this church, Diotrephes, in his self-proclaimed position as number one, wouldn't accept it. He wouldn't receive John or others. He didn't want anything to do with them. As I said, serious. Because John was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. His authority as an apostle was the authority of Jesus. So to reject what John said was to reject Jesus himself, because John was speaking on Jesus' behalf. So again, not a good example of a Christian at all. And Diotrephes was a Christian, or saw himself as a Christian, it can be assumed, because John doesn't point out any doctrinal errors or false teaching that Diotrephes was doing. Rather, he points out behavioural problems, a wrong attitude, a poor example, and poor witness. So then looking into verse 10, John mentions more about what Diotrephes was doing, how else he was setting a bad example as a Christian, as if the first couple of things weren't bad enough. And here he mentions four more things, four further things that Diotrephes was doing. So firstly, John says that Diotrephes was prating against us with malicious words. In other words, he was gossiping about them in a nasty and wicked way. And you'd think, surely that doesn't happen in the church, does it? Well, sadly, yes, it does. It did in John's time, and it still happens today. Malicious gossip can cause incredible damage within the church. It can destroy reputations, destroy unity, destroy trust, and destroy fellowship. And people such as Diotrephes, who love to have their preeminence, they're more than willing to drag others down, those who they think may be a threat to their position as first, by gossiping and slandering them. Diotrephes obviously saw the Apostle John as such a threat to his love of the preeminence. And then secondly, we're told that Diotrephes does not receive the brethren. If you remember back to the second half of 2 John, we're warned not to welcome or allow into our homes any false teachers who do not follow the doctrine of Christ, because doing so shares in their wicked work. Diotrephes, unfortunately, he's doing the same thing to believers, to those who we should be receiving. He's refusing to show hospitality and care for fellow Christians. I mean, what a contrast this is to Gaius's good example in the first 8 verses. And then next, as well as not receiving the brethren himself, Diotrephes forbids others from doing so also, from doing it too. He forbids those who want to show hospitality and love in the truth to fellow believers. Like, this is power and authority gone mad. And this behavior backs up what John has said, that Diotrephes would not even receive John or others with him. Diotrephes thinks that he is the authority, that he is the one in charge, the one who's in control, the one who is first, so much so that he thinks he can dictate how other believers should behave and dictate in a way that's contrary to good Christian behavior. And finally then, as if gossiping wasn't bad enough, as if not welcoming or showing hospitality to other believers wasn't worse, as if forbidding others from welcoming or showing hospitality to other believers wasn't going too far, we're told that Diotrephes then put out of the church those who welcomed or showed hospitality to other believers. This was terrible. I mean, Diotrephes is an awful example of a Christian. He was unloving, unwelcoming, and inhospitable in his treatment of Christians, both outside of and within his own church. He showed no love in the truth for other believers. An absolute and complete contrast with Gaius. And there's actually the possibility that John is mentioning Diotrephes here in his letter to Gaius, because this letter of 3 John is written to Gaius. There's a possibility that John mentions Diotrephes because Gaius may have been at the receiving end of Diotrephes' bad behavior. I mean, John spent the first half of this letter commending, encouraging, and praying for Gaius, saying in verse 5, for example, that he's faithful in how he's treating the brethren, welcoming them and showing them hospitality. Saying, in other words, don't give up what you're doing. You're doing the right thing, Gaius. And here in verse 10, John, he says something else too, something very important for the church. He says, in regards to Diotrephes' bad behavior, that if he, John, comes, he will call to mind his deeds, which he does. John will call attention to what Diotrephes is doing. Diotrephes' poor behavior needs to change. And the only way it will change is by paying attention to it. Like ignoring it or pretending it isn't happening won't solve anything. This is a case for church discipline. And John will call attention to it when he comes. Now, the church today can learn so much from John's response to Diotrephes' behavior here, because often in the church today, discipline doesn't seem to even exist. Like, I really think the church today is being caught up in the spirit of tolerance and acceptance that's in the world, and thinks that to show love to fellow believers means accepting them for who they are, regardless of their behavior or actions, regardless of how they treat other people. We need to show love. We need to be nice to them, people think. And this is true in a way, that we do need to show love to one another. We do need to be nice to one another. But sometimes the way that we show love for others is by lovingly pointing out sin that's in their lives and urging them to change their behavior. I mean, consider the words in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. Some famous, some clear words about discipline, which says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So we know that chastening, that discipline, isn't fun. It's not joyful thing to endure, but it is sometimes necessary to bring somebody back to right behavior, just as what John says that he'll do regarding Diotrephes here in 3 John. So the church today really needs to re-embrace correct church discipline, because to not do so is actually to show a lack of love to fellow believers, to people who may be struggling in their sins, setting bad examples and being bad witnesses for Christ. Because it is definitely true that just as there are many good examples like Gaius in the church today, there's sadly also often bad examples like Diotrephes also. And while some people today might not go so far in their bad behavior as Diotrephes, there are still those amongst us who love to have the preeminence and who love to be first. Like, in preparing this sermon, I came across a story where someone had actually written an article about Diotrephes for a denominational newspaper, calling him the church boss. And following the publication of the article, the newspaper received 25 letters from people who were cancelling their subscriptions because they thought that the article was actually a personal attack against them. So obviously they saw something in Diotrephes about themselves. And if we're one such person like Diotrephes here, then we most definitely need to take heed to John's words here and repent of any bad behaviour or attitudes, because we're setting a terrible example and witness as a Christian. And if we're someone who isn't like Diotrephes here, then we need to watch out for this sort of person, for these sort of people. Watch out for those who may be gossiping maliciously or throwing around their authority or loving to be first. We need to watch out for them. We need to bring attention lovingly to their behaviour so they can change. So then, having spoken here in 3 John of Gaius' good example and then of Diotrephes' bad example, John gives further encouragement to his dear friend Gaius by saying, "Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." Meaning, don't follow any behaviour shown by people such as Diotrephes. Don't imitate it. Don't succumb to a similar attitude. Have nothing to do with it, because that sort of behaviour is evil, and he who does evil has not seen God. And John gives a similar strong statement as this in 1 John, in chapter 2, verse 4, where he says, "He who says, 'I know him,' meaning 'I know God,' he who says this and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So Diotrephes' behaviour was showing that he may not have had a good grasp of the truth. He may not have truly seen God. This sort of behaviour needed to be corrected by John for Diotrephes' own sake, as well as for the sake of others in the church. Because John may be saying here that Diotrephes was not really a Christian, as evidenced by his behaviour. He may have thought he was, but his behaviour raises questions. And so Gaius, rather, and we too, should keep imitating what is good. Keep on with the good example that you're setting. Keep loving the brethren in the truth. Keep showing hospitality and a welcome to travelling Christian teachers and missionaries. For he who does good is of God, is a Christian, is saved. And then John, he then mentions another person in verse 12, somebody called Demetrius. Now, some commentators believe that Demetrius was the person who delivered this very letter of 3 John to Gaius. That's why John mentions him here, in a way commending him to Gaius as an example of somebody deserving of Christian welcome and hospitality. And because John does commend Demetrius, he states that he has a good testimony from all, a good testimony from even the truth itself, as well as from John and from others with him. Like Gaius, Demetrius was setting a good example as a Christian and was somebody to then uphold and support. And then looking at verses 13 to 14, John, he then concludes this short letter in a manner similar to the book of 2 John. Because again, as in 2 John, John here states that he has many things to write, but would rather speak face to face with Gaius, suggesting that the contents of this letter were of great importance, deserving enough for John to write about and to send off to Gaius, even though he hoped to visit Gaius shortly. And as with the beginning of 3 John, John ends this letter by setting a good example himself again, sending wishes of peace and greetings to Gaius and other friends with him, showing love in the truth for these fellow believers. So for us living today, we can see in this letter of 3 John several examples that we can learn from. We looked last week at the good example of Gaius, who was loving other believers in the truth, showing them welcome and hospitality. And tonight we've looked at the poor example of Diotrephes, who himself loved to be first and who treated other believers badly you know, an example of somebody who we shouldn't be like. And we also briefly saw the example of Demetrius, someone who again was also setting a good example as evidenced by the good testimony spoken about him. As we consider these examples, we really need to take to heart John's words where he says, "Do not imitate what is evil, but what is good." We should examine our lives to make sure the examples we set are good, that we're being good, faithful witnesses of Christ in the world, that we're loving other believers in the truth, so that other people, when they speak about us, will only be speaking good things. I'm encouraging other people and setting good examples. And as well, we must be lovingly enacting church discipline against any diatrophies that exist in the church today. For such people do unfortunately exist in our churches. And as we think about what John has said throughout both of these letters of 2 John and 3 John, we should make sure that we're walking in the truth that we know as Christians, and that we're walking in love, both love in general terms, as we love the world by sharing the gospel with those who don't know about Jesus, and love as we love one another as believers in the truth, because we share in the truth and are the family of God. And we should also be on guard against any false teachers, so not only diatrophies, but false teachers as well. Be on guard regarding just who we do love in the truth, because we know that many false teachers have gone out. God's word tells us this. And by doing all these things, we can ensure that we're setting good examples as believers, supporting, encouraging, and bringing joy to one another, as well as pleasing and honouring our Lord and God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all these words recorded in your Bible, Lord, that we have so much that teaches us about how we should be living as your people. We have many good examples, but also we have bad examples of people who we shouldn't emulate, people who we shouldn't imitate. Lord, help us to be on guard against such people, but also to lovingly correct them in their behaviour, to help them for their own sake as well as for the sake of your church. Help us as believers to set good examples and to love one another in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So sing.